Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds, they are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day. Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport. You know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games. They always bringing the knowledge. Nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth. Only me talking the truth. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Taz and the Moose with you here on this Wednesday morning. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Mike and Billy across the way, Bogish, with your updates. To 9 a.m. Eastern time we go. Matt Chatham will join us a little later on the program. Mr. Patriot, Nesson, will talk to Chatham and get his thoughts on New England as they are once again your defending Super Bowl champs with their victory over the Rams a year ago, or earlier this year, I should say, in the Super Bowl. With that being said, let's get to it, the campgrounds.
Time to go camping, boys and girls. Who better to go sit around the campfire and spitball some football, eat some pork beans, brisket, and throw back some cold ones than with Taz and the Moose?
It's Taz and the Moose, just talking away. It's all you ever heard talking smack since the day they was born. It's Taz and the Moose, just talking away. It's all you ever heard talking smack since the day they was born.
All right, Taz, so we start our journey out in Indianapolis at their training camp, right, with Andrew Luck, their star quarterback, coming off a calf strain. And we talked about the time, right, that Indianapolis kind of, took a little bit of, I would say, a careful warning with what happened with Kevin Durant, right? Durant had a calf injury, comes back for Golden State, missed a significant portion of the postseason, comes back in the NBA Finals, first game back, ruptures Achilles tendon. So that's not something you want to have if you're the Indianapolis Colts. So the Colts are shutting Andrew Luck down for a couple of practices. Now Luck has made it perfectly clear that his Achilles tendon is not at risk at all, or is not at serious risk. So are you a little concern level here, or how big is the concern level around the star quarterback for the Colts?
It's starting to build. I mean, you know, when we first heard about it, when we talked about early in the week, I should say, it didn't bother me as much. But now, I don't know, it's just, there's more noise about it, and hearing what's going on out of the camp of Indianapolis, you know, with Reich, the head coach, and Luck, especially what we've seen. I know, and there was references, a few days ago about Kevin Durant and what happened to KD, and it ended up going down to his Achilles. You know, if you listen to some of the stuff that Luck's saying, there's no pain around that area, but these things connect. Your lower leg from your calf to your Achilles to your ankle, and the quarterback is always pivoting, is always backstepping, always, and the way he throws and the way he moves. I mean, there's a lot of footwork, involved. So, he's basically saying that he didn't improve feeling-wise, pain-wise. You know, that's what Luck's saying. But he doesn't want to go through what he went through with 2016 and 2017. So, I can't blame the guy. So I guess he wants to take his time, and they're taking their time with him.
Yeah, be patient with him.
Yeah, and you should be. I mean, it's early, but I don't know. I feel like we have seen this recently, maybe because the Kevin Durant thing's so fresh, with athletes with a lower, like a calf thing, where it's more than just a calf thing. That's what I'm worried about.
Right. And okay, so, yeah, and I don't know that answer, right? And only the doctors or the Indianapolis Colts or Luck know, right, if it's more than just a calf thing. I'm going to go on what we know now, right? And it's just a, quote-unquote, recovery from a calf strain.
Right.
And they're being careful with it. You know, we said at the time, Taz, different in terms of the stress that you do put on your lower leg, basketball to the National Football
League. Right.
A little bit different in terms of the explosion. We saw when Kevin Durant's Achilles exploded, right? And you saw it kind of, and there's the, if you hop online, you could see the slow-mo video.
Right.
And actually see the Achilles tendon rolling up. He was making an explosive move. He faked a jumper, was making an explosive move, and was trying to make a move to the basket. Plus, I mean, you're clearly running a lot more in the NBA than you are in the National Football League.
And just to interrupt you for a second, there's all two other things that are important. The playing surface, obviously. You're playing in hardwood as opposed to a softer surface, what a football player is playing on. And also, the circumference of someone's calf is important. And Andrew Luck's calf, the thickness and the muscularity and the circumference compared to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's got calves like a pencil, where this guy here, Luck, does he? He's got some pretty good, wheels on him for a quarterback. So I'm just saying, we've seen this a little bit here. So it's something I think they got to really keep an eye on.
My concern level right now is not all that high. I think they're just being careful with him. I do think that they're just making sure they don't want to have him. The previous injury was a shoulder injury. We know he didn't have the same velocity on the football last year than he did a year ago. Than he did the previous time that we saw him in the National Football League after sitting out an entire year. So a little bit different when you look at it. But, I'm hoping that they're just being careful with him. Here's Frank Reich, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Take a listen.
Whatever the player feels, you have to respect that, especially a guy that's been around. This isn't a guy this isn't his first rodeo. So we know he's tough. We know he can play with pain, but we got to be smart right now.
How about Andrew Luck? Let's hear him. Cut six, talking about his injury.
The nature of it is a calf strain. And I say lower leg because I feel pain in my ankle area and calf strain. And I guess I'll get a little specific. I've had images and x-rays and everything, and my Achilles is not at extra risk. There is no tear or swelling in there or anything that's indicated.
Yeah, and he talked about the fact that when he comes back, Taz, he wants to make sure he's 100% and can give his team everything he's got. Cut seven.
It's a calf strain, and we're on our feet a lot, and I know to be the best quarterback I want to be, to help this team like I want to help them, I can't be. I'm not looking for average, and if I'm going out here with pain, I'll be average. I will feel like an average quarterback, and I'll be an average quarterback. That's not good enough for me. That's not good enough for this club.
Yeah, it's not. And Taz, they kind of learned from the past, right? Because Andrew Luck played hurt a lot and played in a pain a lot early on in his career and took a beating a lot early on in his career, whether it be rib or chest or whatever it might have been. Obviously, he was dealing with the shoulder discomfort before he had the surgery. So he dealt with a lot of pain and continued to roll out there, and they did not protect the asset. Now, under new leadership, right, with Ballard as the general manager, with Reich as the head coach, they're handling these injuries a lot differently and understanding the asset that they do have in Andrew Luck, which is smart. And you hope? He talked about the fact of being in pain. It's a calf strain. That's not a good sign, so it would raise the concern level even more. It's not a case of them just keeping him out because they want to protect him. He's dealing with the fact that he's got some discomfort. It feels like if he hits the practice field in training camp with any sort of discomfort, he's not going to be able to play the level that he wants to play at.
Well, he was at practice. He just didn't practice. He did throw. He did some throwing. That's what the reports were at the Colts camp. So he did throw a little bit, but he didn't practice. So, big difference. You're planting and you're just throwing as opposed to taking shotguns or taking snaps on the center or doing drills, So, it's smart. And I agree with you. It is smart what the Colts are doing. There's no reason to rush this thing. And, I think at this point, a guy like Andrew Luck and, his expertise on that offense and as a legitimate quarterback, there's been concerns. Is this guy injury prone? I got that. But as far as his intellect and his ability to run an offense, you don't have to worry about him getting tons of reps. My point in long form is, if he's not practicing with the team that much during the offseason like now, no big deal. I mean, if you're Frank Reich and it comes, it's not a big deal. You know?
Yeah, I just want to make sure he's healthy for week one.
Exactly. Right?
I mean, that's the biggest key, right?
You need this guy big time.
Well, let's head down to South Beach next, Taz, and the Miami Dolphins. Here's their head coach, Brian Flores, talking about the quarterback competition. Who leads the way?
I would say from a quarterback standpoint, you know, it's pretty clear to me that Ryan Fitzpatrick is leading the way. I think he's done that in a lot of areas, from, you know, leadership to production on the field to in the meeting rooms and the walkthroughs.
I mean, and here is Fitz talking about the fact of being a leader and taking control of that franchise. Take a listen.
I think I've become better at that. I think I've just become more comfortable in that role. And so, you know, I try to do my best and be myself, and hopefully, you know, guys decide that they want to follow that. And it's something that's worked well for me in the past.
And listen, I mean, the any kind of shine that was on the star of Josh Rosen is gone. I mean, you're in practice, and if you're reading, you know, stuff on with guys at Dolphin practice, where, you know, he's kind of becoming check down Charlie with Josh Rosen, where he's not throwing into tight windows, not throwing guys open, you know, looks a little bit hesitant in the pocket. In some of these passing drills for the Miami Dolphins. And to really nobody's surprise, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick steps into a scenario, Taz, where he's got nothing to lose, right? I mean, first-year head coach and Brian Flores, right? We know that he's had success up in Buffalo initially, had success with the Jets initially, has had success in Tampa Bay, and now he's down in Miami. I would imagine that if he's going mano a mano against a guy like Josh Rosen, you know, Fitzpatrick is going to work his rear end off. Mm-hmm. The thing with Fitzpatrick is initially he has success and then he fails and crashes over the course of time.
That's why I'm not so quick to say, I might be the only one to say this, but I don't really care. I'm not so quick to say that the stock is dropping for Josh Rosen in my mind. I wouldn't give up on him just yet. I you know, listen, they both come in there into the Dolphins system. It's everything's new. It's new to both quarterbacks, to Fitzpatrick and to Rosen. Okay, big difference between these two cats. I mean, you know, Fitzpatrick has a plethora of experience. I mean, years. He came in the league, I think, like 2006 or something like that.
He's been around a while.
Been around a long time. So he's been in a lot of systems. He knows what he's doing. You know, he's got a lot of experience. So he could pick up a system. He's also a Harvard graduate, so he's a pretty sharp guy. Now, you know, that also plays into it, too. And I'm not saying Josh Rosen is not smart, because he is. The thing is, I do think that it's going to take a little more time, I think, for Rosen to learn the system. But, you know, I think you make a good point that the history shows with Fitzpatrick, things start out great. Fitzmagic Jones, next thing you know, it's like, you know, a few weeks in, it's like, all right, next. You know, so that's where Josh Rosen comes in. So, I don't know. I mean,
I'll bite the apple. I'm concerned about Rosen in terms of down in Miami, Taz. I'm not telling you he's not talented. You know, the reports out of Arizona were not great in terms of the work ethic. You know, there was concern about him being a leader out at UCLA and stepping into an NFL locker room and being that kind of a guy. Fitzpatrick has already shown you the capability. I'm not telling you Fitzpatrick is the answer in any way, shape, or form. I'm a little concerned when you go and...
So hold on, let me get this straight. Let me interrupt you. So for a few days into camp, you feel like Rosen, this thing's not going
to
work out.
When someone compares Josh Rosen to Chad Henne, that's not a favorable comparison.
I didn't hear it. When did this happen?
Well, that was a guy that covers the Dolphins, Omar Kelly, you're up on Twitter, compared him to Chad Henne.
Yeah, I don't follow guys.
So when guys around the Dolphins are making that kind of a comparison, I'd be a little concerned about Josh Rosen.
I hear you. Well,
I mean, that would be the issue to me. Now, listen, he's got time to make up for it. He's certainly got a world of ability, Taz. But, you know, Arizona gave up on him right quick. As an organization, I know they had a change in leadership. I get that. But they couldn't wait to get a new quarterback into the fold. And it wasn't like teams were kicking down the door Arizona to get Josh Rosen aboard.
I'm not Josh Rosen's advocate. I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying you are. I'm surprised. I got to be honest with you, Taz. I'm surprised. I'm surprised that he's not more impressive for the Miami Dolphins.
I don't disagree with that.
I'm surprised that he's not a guy that's kind of lighting it up down there in South Beach. That to me... I'm surprised that Ryan Fitzpatrick, at this stage of his career, where I look at Fitzpatrick as a backup quarterback, is in all likelihood going to be the starter week one for the Miami Dolphins. I'm surprised by that. I didn't think Josh Rosen would crash like this. I just didn't. I thought when the Miami Dolphins acquired him, I thought he'd be the starter without a shadow of a doubt week
too.
One.
Me too. I'm on the same page as you. I thought the same thing. But, you know, I'm just saying it takes time to people learn systems. That's all I'm saying. I mean, beat writers can do it. People cover, you know, teams or whatever. And I understand they stay with these teams. They have an expertise on the team. I get it. But I know this much. That when players go into a new system, some players can catch on to the system quicker than others. Especially as a quarterback, you're the boss, you're the game manager, you're the general on the field. So if you don't know that system, if you're not locked fully in intellectually in that system, your physicality, throwing the ball the right way to the right guy, knowing the right guy to hit, knowing who's open, you're thinking too much, you're not going to perform as well. Yeah, you're going. I just think that comparing Josh Rosen right now, early in camp, with Fitzpatrick, two brand new systems with a brand new head coach in Flores with the Dolphins, which is an all brand new deal. They're trying to figure this thing out down there. They fired the offensive line coach Flaherty after four practices. I mean, so they're trying to figure it out. My point is, you got a guy with a lot of experience at quarterback, okay, who can get a new playbook and figure it out pretty quick because he's done it a whole bunch in his career, compared to a kid who. He was in college a couple years ago, you know.
He was,
and got his confidence completely destroyed with the Cardinals because of the whole Kyler Murray thing. So, I mean, the kid's probably shook in general because he was made to look like a punk.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I look at a guy that's.
I guess I sound like his advocate.
Well, a little bit. I mean, he sounds. I don't know if I buy all of that. I mean, I look at him as. My concern level for Rosen is...
What don't you buy? Was his confidence destroyed? Wouldn't you think his confidence... destroyed's a stretch.
Destroyed is... I mean,
I said it's a stretch. Yeah. Would you say his confidence was...
Was affected, yeah. Publicly, but he also went to a new situation. He's been there for a while.
Yeah, I know
it's
that.
It's not like they acquired him yesterday.
But he was the Cardinals' number one pick.
Sure.
He goes in with all his hype.
Right.
With all those excellent quarterbacks that came out a couple years ago. And he's the guy who flopped. He flopped under Lamar Jackson with the Ravens. And no one expected that. It came out of Louisville. My point is his confidence. Okay, I'll ask it in question form. Do you feel like Rosen's confidence?
I don't think Arizona has anything to do with this.
Okay, so then your answer sounds like his confidence is fine and dandy after what happened in
Taz,
Arizona.
He's in a new scenario.
I know
he's a professional athlete.
He's a young guy.
I know, but Taz,
he's a professional athlete.
I mean,
he's a young
those
guy.
Those that have been around Josh Rosen say confidence is not an issue.
Let me tell you. No, I understand that. He's 22 years old.
I know he's young.
Now, hang on a second. I don't care who you talk to, writers, reporters. You can't measure, if the psychology of a player. If a kid is insecure, for argument's sake, and he's insecure in his own play, sometimes a defense mechanism, he comes off as overconfident. And he comes off as arrogant because that's a defense mechanism.
I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you
that. I'm not a psychiatrist, but I'm just saying.
Taz, but I'll put it this way. Do you think if I take... If I take franchise quarterback A, say I take Sam Darnold.
Okay.
And throw him into a new scenario where he's going up against Ryan Fitzpatrick. Do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick is beating out Sam Darnold?
It's a tough question. That's a very tough question. I can't just answer that.
I can't answer
the question because it's all about the system, the new system. I don't feel like Josh Rosen's going against Ryan Fitzpatrick. Josh Rosen is going against the playbook. Fitzpatrick's going against the play. They're trying to learn the I get why you're saying that. I know why you're saying
I'm
that.
I'm talking about the fact of either you have it or you don't.
Well,
I look at quarterbacks where it's like either, you know kind of initially early on, Taz, that either a guy's got that quality or he doesn't. I'm not telling you the system doesn't play or you need talent around you and you need an offensive line. I mean, there's a number of ways that you can go about doing it, Taz, but... I mean, if someone came up to you over the course of the next day and say, I'm concerned about Josh Rosen, I mean, you would have every right to say, yeah, I can understand why you'd be concerned about Josh Rosen.
He's got to reprove himself. Well, of course he does.
And he didn't handle himself well out in Arizona. You know, the work ethic.
Early 20s. He makes
work ethic.
Moose, I know work ethic, but I'm just telling you, as a father of a kid 20 years old, and you'll see when your kids get older, they go through things at that age that where they do things that are a little bit weird, and they act weird, and the work ethic and all that, it all can be affected. I'm just letting you know that.
No, but we're also talking about a different thing. We're talking about a guy that gets drafted in the first round,
right,
where people had concerns about whether or not he was passionate about football,
I remember,
whether or not he could lead men.
Right.
In the National
Football
League,
right? Sure, I remember.
So
yeah.
Little to no leadership qualities in Arizona.
Right.
And the reports out of Arizona was he did not go above and beyond with his work ethic.
Right, right.
You know, I've never met your son.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We've talked about your son. I do know this, right? If your son was drafted in the first round by the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
I do know this. I know your son, day and night, would be working his rear end off to be the best quarterback he could possibly be, or be the best defensive back he could possibly, whatever position he was playing,
he would be.
The work ethic would be there.
It would.
Because we've talked about it. I've never met your son. This
right,
is only,
right.
But I know this. I know that work ethic is inherent in your son, right?
Yes.
I don't believe that work ethic is inherent in Josh Rosen.
And you could be
That's
right.
the concern level I have with Rosen.
I appreciate the compliment about my son, but it's the truth.
But it's because I think either you have it or you don't. I mean, people could talk about it, you know, it's not just in sports, it's in life as well, where
right.
people feel like they should be handed something.
Oh,
they step out of college.
Right, right, right. There's entitlement, of
right.
course.
Right, and that's the problem you have where I look at Josh Rosen, and whether it be Arizona or now Miami. I would look at the way it ended in Arizona, Taz, and if I was a first-round pick, I would be angry.
Yeah.
I'd be angry
yeah.
to the point where I'd work my rear end off morning, noon, and night.
It becomes motivation.
Motivation, right. I want to prove Arizona wrong. I
sure.
want to prove all the people
Everybody wrong.
I want to prove all the people that knocked me wrong. I am going to be a great quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. And Taz, when he steps into camp and he's not lighting it up down there initially early on, and you're seeing these stories coming out of Miami, I look at it as being concerning.
Let me ask, I don't know
if he learned it.
But is he not lighting it up? I mean, maybe it's a rhetorical question. You might notice, you might not. I don't know the answer. But is he not lighting it up in drills, or is he not lighting it up in running the offense? See, I just want you to think about my question, because there's a big difference there. Now, if he's not lighting it up in drills, then I'm with you. Then I'm completely with you.
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I just saw reports on some of the passing drills, some of the 7-on-7s, where he was kind of thrown. Everything was checked out. That's all.
Right. Now, you understand what I mean? Like, because when you have
mean.
To think a lot, your physicality
when
is...
When you're looking at 7-on-7 drills, Taz...
Well, usually a quarterback that played Division I football and
you're
at a high level, you should be able to handle 7-on-7 drills.
Right.
I don't disagree with that.
I mean, usually in those, you're like 11 of 15,
right.
11 of 13,
usually, quarterback
you're not dumping it off
right.
to the running back.
Right. No, I hear you. And, you know, here's what's funny. You know, I'm not a stats guy, but, you know, the thing is, last year, I was just taking a look at this, passing yards in the NFL. So Josh Rosen finished 29th, okay?
Yeah.
Guess who finished 28th? Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right, there you
How
go.
How funny is that?
That is funny. Right. They're 28th and 29th.
So if you're a Dolphins fan, not too
right.
bright.
Not too great at the quarterback spot. There's
funny.
No doubt. All right, let's head out to Arizona, shall we? Rosen's old stomping ground. How about Cliff Kingsbury? You want to talk about a guy that's got a lot of time on his hands,
yes.
right? He's got a new quarterback, right?
Yep.
The failure at Texas Tech is now running an NFL team, right? Mr. Good Looking out in Arizona. A little bit bothered by the way that he looks on the Madden game. Take a listen.
It's funny you bring that up, because I had seen a bunch of guys kind of getting in their feelings about their ratings. And then somebody sent me a picture of what I look like on there. And then, So I want to get adjusted on looks rating. So I was, I look like I'm on The Walking Dead in that picture. But so yeah, I apologize to any of those players that I thought, hey, it's just a video game. Why are you upset? Because I saw my picture on there, and I'm not pleased with where we're at. So we had to work on that.
Well, Kingsbury's a very good-looking guy, right?
But right, he is.
In this photo, in the video, he's gave like dark rings under his eyes. He looks like. He's been out all night.
Yeah,
a lot
like he's been like in a rave.
Yeah, exactly.
It does not look like him.
It doesn't look like him
at all, which is surprising, Taz, because as the graphics have gotten better and better, and the systems have gotten better and better, the people look even more lifelike as compared to now, you know, 20 years ago, you could understand. I don't think Cliff Kingsbury is joking around about the way that he looks on the Madden game. But
yeah.
Now, you look at it, he looks. It doesn't look like him. No, so I can understand that.
But you know,
very confident in himself.
He should be. Yeah. Jeez. But the thing with the Madden game, I haven't played the new Madden game, so I wouldn't know.
I've not played the new Madden game.
I just did some of the screenshots online, but. You know, yeah, the graphics have gotten better over the years. They were amazing, you know, when players were in helmets. You know, but for years, I used to play the NCAA college football game, and I played Madden for years and all that stuff. I told you I won Super Bowls with the Madden. You know that. We've talked about this. Yeah. But anyway, the coaches always look
horrible. Season-long Super Bowls?
Season-long Super Bowls for the Cincinnati. I don't know why, but I had the Bengals. I told you the story.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, the coaches always looked horrible on the sideline. They always, but you know, if a guy had a helmet on, they can make him look great. You know, now, to your point, you would think that all these years later that they would have this down. But, you know, Kingsbury doesn't look like Kingsbury. Hey, by the way, you know what he's called? Now, they call him K2. You know who K1 is?
Kyler Murray.
Because he was number one.
K1,
K2. How annoying
K2.
Is that? K1, K2.
Well, I imagine it's
annoying.
Because of the two Ks.
Correct.
Right.
Cliff Kingsbury. Because he's so cool. Cliff is not spelled with a C. It's spelled with a K.
That's correct. Now, the other thing that got me thinking, I think he might be the only coach in the NFL that would ever comment on the way that he looks in the Madden game.
I don't picture Andy Reid doing this.
No.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Bill Belichick?
No.
John Gruden. Jay Gruden.
Well, not Jay Gruden. John Gruden. I could see maybe saying something. It would be funny.
His accent,
but
right?
But to your point, though, no, he's not.
I mean,
this guy's Handsome Jones.
He's a good-looking guy, right, and that's a major attribute. And
K2.
He's the only guy that I think would probably, I mean, maybe, you're right, maybe John Gruden would.
He would say something funny. You
that,
know he would say
that might be the only, you think Brian Flores?
No, I think
run up and down the line. I mean,
I'm trying to think,
Mike Tomlin? John Harbaugh?
I want to see Adam Gaze on here with the eyes on the Madden. That's what I want to see.
Well, Christian Mr. Beard. Jones. Now he's got the beard
got the
and
beard.
Everything.
Well, you know why he grew the beard
Gaze
to hide the eyes?
About that?
Adam Gaze grew the beard to hide his eyes.
Well, he wears the hat. He's got the tilted brim.
As soon as he's wearing a mask to hide
over
his eyes.
Wearing
a Rey Mysterio mask.
He looks much better with his hat on than he does without the hat.
Oh, wow. Sleep.
But that's where Kingsbury's got I'd be a little concerned if I'm Arizona. Don't focus on the Madden as a game. I mean, and your looks on the Madden.
I know. It's
focus
funny.
On winning football games.
Handsome Jones.
I mean, right. But he's a good-looking guy.
He's a
he
very good-looking guy.
He doesn't need the Madden game to prove it.
When you look like that, you don't do radio. Let's put it that way.
855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on this Wednesday morning. There you go. Your trip around the National Football League. We call it the campgrounds right here, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio is toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Matt Chatham, we'll talk a little Pats, will join us next hour. Just running around some of the training camps in the National Football League. And one we did not hit upon before we welcome Bogish in here, Taz. How about John Gruden out there in Oakland with the Raiders? He's impressed by a quarterback. Who is that quarterback? Take a listen.
This Nate Peterman is growing on me. He's athletic. I know he's had some nightmare performances in the NFL. But when you watch the film, you can see why. It's not all his fault. But he's got some talent. He's got some athleticism. He has some experience. Here's an opening day starter for the Buffalo Bills last year. I take that very serious. And he's smart. He's done a good job. He's been consistent. And I think he's starting to get his confidence back. And we all need that.
Took him two years.
Well, there you go. Nate Peterman.
Yeah.
Good for Peterman coming back.
You know what? I tip my cap to Coach Gruden for putting over his players and being positive, and that's a good message. And you better hope, Coach, that you don't have to put him in the game. As a Bills fan, I'm telling you.
Well,
stay clear of Nate.
I do one thing, and Taz, I don't, we saw his failures, and, you know, he said it was not all of his fault. Here's one thing I feel good for Peterman is this. He's been able to bounce back, right? So you think about the individual. I don't know. Sometimes I kind of get caught in the weeds with this thing. I think about the guy, right? The personality.
Yeah.
The individual long-term 15, 20 years from now, right? Where we all joked around about Peterman coming in and when's the next interception every time, you know, he's Mr. INT. So I do feel good that he's been able to bounce back, you know, and kind of put that experience with Buffalo behind him. And have a good, you know, initial start to his training camp with the Oakland Raiders. That's where I feel good for him a little
bit. I do, too. And this is what we talked in the last segment about Josh Rosen, about confidence and how confidence can be shooken. And, you know, he's a couple years older than Nate Peterman than Josh. He's about 3 years older than him. And there's a little more maturity between a 22-year-old and 25-year-old. So maybe he was able to use some of that maturity and bounce back. You know, maybe he'll do a good job in a backup role for the Raiders. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't wish no bad on the kid.
No, I know you don't. I know you don't. He's a disaster.
I'm glad he's not with the Bills anymore.
Yeah,
I can tell you that.
No, I understand that. I just and good for him. And the last guy you think you'd hear Gruden rip off saying that he was impressed by would be Nate Peterman. But there you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's – yeah.
But I don't know if that says a lot about the Raiders.
Imagine Antonio Brown dealing with him if he was a star.
Right, exactly.
Could you imagine that? Dude, that would be something, boy. Oh, my God.
Life would be a lot easier for Nate Peterman throwing him the football, though. It's not like the Bills had Antonio Brown.
But 15 feet behind him, I could just picture A.B. That'd be a massive problem.
Oh, me, Mr. Big Chess.
I mean, God, he would chirp like no chirping ever.
Well, we'll see what Josh Allen does this year.
Yeah. My guy. So, listen, I'm confident. I got to go in optimistic. I'm going to be confident.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, you know, he's not, you know, he's, look, he's not he's Tom not, Brady. We know that. He's never going to be
Montana
a Tom Brady.
With no, that
he's,
accuracy.
He's not Jim Kelly. I know. But you know what? You know, he can throw far and long and he can run good. Just got to put like 10 receivers in the area from the throw.
Yeah,
maybe one will catch it.
Maybe, right. Maybe he'll hit one of them in the chest.
Yeah, it's not exactly we have great receivers. I'm looking forward to seeing Beasley, though. We got Cole Beasley, so I like him.
Yeah,
so,
Beasley will be good. He's motivated. He wanted to get paid
like
by
him.
The Cowboys.
Yeah.
The Cowboys said thanks, but no thanks.
I like him. Zay Jones, jury's still out on him. He didn't, last year. I don't want to get told back at the whole podcast.
He's been a disappointment.
Bills. Yeah, he has been
a disappointment.
He has been. Wow,
from what they expected. Yeah, so what's up, Andrew? How you doing, buddy?
Good to see you, man. Here I am.
Oh.
Got lost again. Now, here's your report, sponsored by Wrangler Outdoor. Pants and shirts made with durable fabrics, moisture management, and UPF 30 protection. Wrangler Outdoor, clothing with outdoor credibility and everyday versatility. Try them on today. The Pirates snapped their 9-game losing streak. Yasiel Puig traded during the game, but neither the lead story from last night in Cincinnati.
Here comes Amir Garrett. He's leaving the mound. He wants a piece of somebody. Amir Garrett takes a swing and gets a punch. The Pirates bench is emptied. Amir Garrett went flying. They are hitting each other all over the place.
This is not usually.
This is a real fight.
And it was just beginning. Greg Brown, Pirates Radio, Amir Garrett had been chirping with the Pirate dugout while pitching the top of the ninth.
No,
Reds.
Sorry.
No,
I got to say this. I'm very surprised. And I'm happy. We heard of no injuries from this fight. And I'm glad. This is bad knuckles, dudes. Okay. When you go bad knuckles, these are guys. He's a big athlete. It's a bad knuckles deal. These guys are all just foam punches. There's huddles of fights. There's little, pods of fights.
They're called pig piles.
Yeah, okay. That's a good way to put it. No, but, dude, and like this, that no one, you know, no one left there with a, you know, strawberry under their eye or lost a tooth or a broken nose.
I saw one dude bleeding.
Oh, did you? So
Rick Exton, who is, I think, David Exton's brother, is the Pirates' hitting coach, and he got run over in the first wave of players coming together.
Run over.
And he had some blood rolling down his left cheek, I think.
Like a trampling.
Yeah, he was trying to stop somebody, and a bigger coach from the Reds ran right over him. And then there was just, you know, a mess of people on top. And he
just
got up,
trucked.
Jersey ripped, untucked, and a little trickle of blood coming down his cheek.
But I feel like a lot of the punches thrown don't really, you know, a lot of them don't land clean. Those that you remember do. I mean, Nolan Ryan, Robin Ventura,
Ray Knight.
Darryl Strawberry, and Armando Benitez. You mentioned Ray Knight being another one. I mean, but a lot of the punches that are being thrown look worse than they really are because there's just so many bodies.
Correct.
There's so many people. So you look at that haymaker, and it doesn't land anywhere.
Right,
it gets blocked, or it hits the shoulder, or what might be. I mean, we all remember those that do land where guys all of a sudden, you know, get drilled, Taz. But you mentioned it. Yeah, I mean, guys are throwing bare knuckles, but it's not like a street fight where it's like five guys.
Yeah.
You're talking about, you know, two teams. You're talking about nearly, you know, 55, 60 people on the field, and if you don't land it initially, there's so many bodies
true,
that come, it's difficult to then all of a sudden start just drilling
somebody. You got to really watch the sucker punch. That's because it could be a sucker punch without even meant to be a sucker punch because there's so... You're just hitting and swinging.
Right, because the guy's throwing, he might not be intending to hit that person.
Correct,
right,
correct.
Yeah, correct.
You got to watch you get hit by your own teammate because it's just so many. And these are big guys. People don't realize baseball players are big guys. They're not little guys.
That's true.
You know, so it's.
Well, Garrett 6'5", Puig's a big boy. I mean, they are. I mean, you're talking about guys. Yeah, and Puig's insane too.
Oh yeah, no, he's crazy. Yeah, no, I love him. I loved him when he was with the Dodgers. I love him. Puig Jones, I call him. Yeah, no. So, yeah, it's good that no one got hurt bad. I mean, no one got hurt
you
besides
call him
the
Puig Jones?
Puig Jones. Oh, yeah, yeah, correct. It's just a better name than Yasiel Puig.
So, in all,
I got that wrong.
Eight people, including Puig Jones, got tossed last night. Reds manager David Bell was already ejected for arguing a called strike against Puig in the eighth inning. He came back on the field so angry at Clint Hurdle, the Pirates manager, because one of his pitchers again threw at a Reds
got his
head.
Ass whooped by Clint Hurdle in that headlock takedown.
Well, that wasn't Hurdle. That was that. Might have been Rick Eckstein again, who got then
that wasn't
tackled.
Hurdle?
No, he never got to Hurdle. Somebody else tackled David Bell.
I gave all this credit in segment one. Yeah, I know. My people gave me my info.
Hurdle didn't tackle.
I even
tackle
had a video breakdown.
I did give you a video breakdown.
It was the wrong guy.
I was the wrong guy. It was a different pirate. Whoever did that had some wrestling ability. He knew how to keep a guy down with a headlock.
So all of this dates back to April when Derek Dietrich admired a home run, angering the Pirates. He was thrown out again last night by Keone Kella. Pittsburgh won the game 11-4. That ends that 9-game skid. And Puig is going to Cleveland, along with Padres outfielder Franmil Reyes and lefty Logan Allen. San Diego gets Reds top prospect Taylor Trammell, since he ends up with righty Trevor Bauer. The Braves got reliever Chris Martin from the Rangers yesterday for minor league pitcher Kobe Allard. The trade deadline is 2 Mountain Time this afternoon. Back on the field last night, Atlanta an 11-8 win in Washington.
We just say Eastern here.
Pushing there. People are listening all across this fine country.
Well, we're on the air live every day, 6 Eastern. Everybody else, figure it out.
Yeah, 4 Mountain, 3 Pacific,
yeah,
1 Hawaiian.
You live, you figure it out.
Yes. 7 in like Nova Scotia.
6 Eastern.
Hawaii.
The Cardinals alone atop the NL Central this morning after downing the Cubs 2-1. Matt Olson took Josh Hader deep, bottom 10. The A's beat the Brewers 3-2. Arizona, 4-2 win at Yankee Stadium. Bengals wideout A.J. Green now expected to miss multiple regular season games due to the left ankle injury he suffered on Saturday. Green had surgery yesterday morning. And the city of Calgary approved funding for a new arena for the Flames yesterday. The team and the city is supposed to split the $550 million price tag. Mm. Guys?
Thank you, Andrew. We'll continue to run around the National Football League. We're going to head back out to Arizona because the early impressions of their rookie signal caller, Kyler Murray, from one veteran Cardinal, he likes him. We'll explain. You'll hear it. We'll do that next. Taz Moose on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
So out to Arizona we go. How about the first training camp for rookie and first overall draft choice, Kyler Murray? A Heisman Trophy winner coming out of Oklahoma. Cliff Kingsbury enamored with him when he was head coach at Texas Tech, and they decide to go in that direction with the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Been there, done that. We discussed that at the time. Now training camps are open. How has Murray looked so far in training camp? Let's hear from the future Hall of Famer. Here's Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, I've never seen a quarterback come in so quickly and be able to command an offense. I mean, from day one, he's out there checking the different plays, sliding the line, different protections, getting us in screens when blitzes come in. I mean, so his understanding of the offense is like, it's crazy. I mean, from day one. And I think that's going to give us a great advantage. You know, he'll play fast from the first preseason game all the way to the start of the regular season. And, you know, giving him the keys to the car and letting him go is going to be great for us.
Yeah, so that's exactly what you want to hear if you're a Cardinal fan waking up early here on this Wednesday morning listening to Taz and the Moose, is what you heard from Fitzgerald yesterday, courtesy of the NFL Network. Impressed by the command that Murray has of the playbook, being able to play fast, being able to have an understanding of where guys need to be. Early impressions, good ones out in Arizona.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I could have sworn, I don't know if we talked about it here, if I read it somewhere during the week. And then Kingsbury talked to Lincoln Riley a little bit at Oklahoma, kind of get some input from him on different stuff to help, like for offensively, for it to be more comfortable and better for Murray. Could have sworn I read that somewhere.
You might be right. Yeah. I didn't read. I mean, it would be smart for him to do so.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So my point is, just to poke holes and be nitpicky for a second, you know, I mean, yeah, so if that is the case, I know I read that somewhere. Kyler Murray, he's comfortable because he's probably working within a system similar to what he did at OU. You know, if Riley and Kingsbury, they have connections, they're friends, and, you know, I'm sure he's getting help from them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I
read it somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that you're going to, there's going to be things that are familiar. I mean, they're similar offenses.
Right. Yeah,
right.
So that's
but I don't think he's taking Lincoln Riley's offense and putting in.
Maybe I implied that. I agree with you. I don't think he's doing that either.
I mean, there might be a player or two that is similar in nature, Taz, but I mean, it's going to be the Kingsbury offense. I think the preparedness for Kyler Murray, I'll give him credit. Now, whether or not his size is a determining factor about his success. We'll find out. We'll find, you know, because he's a very, very small quarterback. We know it led to, you know, no downturn in production collegially at Oklahoma. We'll see what it does here in the National Football League with the Arizona Cardinals. But, yeah, I would imagine that he had conversations with Lincoln Riley about what he's effective at doing and everything like that. But to step in and have the command that he's had early on, the early impressions, I mean, that's what you want to see from a number one overall pick, right? I mean, because it would be concerning if Paul Coulson and say, well, if it's the other way around, you'd be alarmed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If Larry Fitzgerald was coming out and being like, he's lost.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that's
little be a
to problem.
No
yeah.
command, has no idea what he's doing with the football. I mean, then you'd be like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I mean, listen, as long as they, right, no, you're right. As long as they're putting, you know, Murray in position, in which they're going to, Kingsbury's going to do that. He wanted this kid so bad. I mean, they're going to put him in positions to have his lack of height, you know, to play to his advantage for now. You know, just get him on the move. You know, this is not a prototypical straight drop back quarterback here. We know that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out once they're playing in real games with this kid here. Because we'll see. I mean, I'm rooting for him. I hope he does well. And I hope the Cardinals do well. I think it's cool, but it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I would think that everything what the Cardinals are doing right now, and it's probably smart to do it offensively, is to play within any strength, hide the weaknesses, and accentuate the positives of Kyler Murray. That's Kingsbury and the offensive coordinator's job. That's their job there to do that, and the players around him. Because if you want to have that success with him, and Lord knows it didn't happen with Rosen when he went there, but it wasn't Kingsbury's system, so...
No, it wasn't. I look at Murray. The only knock on Murray is really, you know, the height test. So they're not going to have him being a pure, you know, five step drop, get rid of the football, thrown over that. I mean, but that's not Kingsbury's offense either. So you hope that, you know, you're able to negate the size, that he's able to see the entire field, as you mentioned it, by moving around in the pocket, maybe doing some rollouts and everything like that, which is fine, but I look at Murray as a guy that I'm intrigued, because I think for a lot of smaller quarterbacks out there, if Murray's successful, you're gonna have a chance to be successful,
right?
And I kind of think it's a litmus test for other guys that are coming down the line that don't have your prototypical NFL size, 6'4", 6'5", strapping, this and that, can throw the ball a country mile. You know, you got to have the arm strength that get it, Taz. But he's kind of like a test here where we've seen it, where it was just Drew Brees, right? Now you've got Drew Brees and you've got Baker Mayfield. Now you're throwing Kyler Murray, who's even smaller than the other two. Now it's even more of a litmus test for other guys down the line as well that might get an opportunity to play in the National Football League. Brees has led to other guys getting an opportunity. Mayfield's success will lead to Kyler Murray being the first overall pick, and other guys getting an opportunity. If Murray's successful, will lead to even more guys getting an opportunity in the National Football League, which I think is pretty cool.
And I hope that happens. I really do. I think it's awesome. I mean, I think that's great. I mean, you know, look, I from my business coming out of pro wrestling, I was always typecast because I wasn't as tall as everybody else. Many of us that were undersized in height, you know, and it sucked. Now it's great in wrestling because there are a plethora of guys that are under 6 foot and girls that are succeeding. And it's a big, big, big advantage not to be super tall anymore. So that's nice to see. I know coming up it wasn't like that. So hopefully for Kyler Murray, maybe that he's setting a tone just like you said, Breeze did and Mayfield, right. So
yeah, hopefully that's the case. We'll see. It'll be fun. I mean, in any instance, they're going to be a fun team to watch, Taz. See,
yes,
if Kingsbury can get it going and if Kyler Murray can be successful. We'll come back. Third and final hour. We kick it off with the three. It's Taz the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.